blessing to show forth His holiness, that is, His unimaginable mystery, His holiness. Showing forth His mystery means to show something of Himself that is completely beyond our capacity to think or imagine. Here, this means the power of His mercy. I have relented because of my holy name, which the house of Israel profaned among the nations where they came. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, not for your sakes do I act, O house of Israel, but for the sake of my holy name. There's no comparison. Of course it's for their sake, in the sense that He loves His people. But what He wants to show is the holiness of His name, which means His mystery, His mercy, His power, His love. So I'll bring you back. I'll bring you back to your own land. Thus the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord, when in their sight I will prove my holiness through you. Our deepest responsibility is to show the holiness of God through us, to give the world hope. This is not a task we are left to do ourselves. This is the work of God in us. I live now, not Christ, not I. Christ lives in me. I will take you away from the nations, gather you from all the foreign lands, and bring you back to your own land. I will give you a new heart and place a new spirit within you. This is how He shows forth His holiness, His ineffable reality. When He was speaking to Israel through Hosea, the first almost of the prophets, He said the same thing. If I look at your sins, I feel obliged to blot you out. But my own heart turns against me. For I am God, not man, the Holy One in the midst of you. The incomprehensibility of God is that His eternal and infinite might is at the service of His mercy. The very first or the deepest one to have received this mercy of the Father is Jesus Himself. Jesus lay helpless as a human being in the tomb. And the Father raised Him by His own glory, Paul tells us. There is our hope. There is our life. Not only as an example, as an interesting or edifying illustration. There is our hope because it is the very power of God available to us, living in us, changing us, to give the world hope. All the nations will know when I give you a new heart and place a new spirit within you, taking from your bodies your stony hearts and giving you a human heart. I will put my spirit within you and make you live by my statutes, careful to observe my decrees. And then all the world will take hope. All the world can see that we Christians, who have done so little to respond to the wonder of God's love, Oh yes, we can point to some marvelous exceptions. Thanks be to God. But why are they exceptions? That's normality. When you see St. Francis, St. Teresa of Avila, Padre Pio, Mother Teresa, John Paul II, we look at normality. And you know what happens? All the world takes hope. All the world begins to take hope. Look what God has done for these people, the God in whom I never even believed. And he's promising us that this is a night of resurrection. This is a night of power, the power of mercy. I will put my spirit within you and make you live by my statutes. Careful to observe my decrees. You shall live in the land I gave to your fathers. And where is that land? It's the whole globe, my friends. We are called to give hope to this world. We're not called to get ready to sort of face the hard times, though they're going to come. We are called to be a light, and we are a light when we receive the mercy of God and live by it. And people have hope. People have courage. And they know there is a living God who invites them to be part of this plan of eternal life. And so you see, when Paul starts to talk to us about baptism, you know, if one time we saw what happens at baptism, if one time we saw what happens at the renewal of baptism, we lay aside our sin and await the holiness of God, something we cannot do by ourselves. We were indeed buried with him through baptism into death. So that's just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, the glory again, we too might live in newness of life. In the letter to the Ephesians, Paul prays that we would know certain things. And one of them is the power, the might. Every Greek word for power is in this sentence in Ephesians. It's in chapter 2. Really the end of 1. We, that you might know the power, the might of his strength, by which he raised Christ from the dead. How will we know that? By experiencing, and I mean experiencing, that power to change us. And how does he change us? By filling us with such love and such desire for the glory of God, for union with God, for the manifestation of God, and for the salvation of this whole world. Well, we can't do that by ourselves. Of course we can't. But we can do this in the power of Jesus Christ, the living and eternal Son of God. That's what we celebrate tonight. That's why there's light. That's why there's music. It's all trying to bring into our being, accept more openly, taking out of our hearts, our chest, this stony heart. You know, happy Easter, what's for dinner? Really, Christ is risen. Say it again, Christ is risen. Truly, he is risen. Let's walk around like saved people. Do you know? I mean, those who do not believe in Jesus Christ, what's on their mind tonight? The stock market. What's that going to say? Can we show them the peace that comes from knowing Jesus Christ? Really knowing Him. Now that doesn't mean being all aglow inside. It'd be nice if it did all the time, but it doesn't. But it means knowing something that only God can place in us. A human heart that is open to receive the wonder and the mercy of God into our own being. That is our apostolic duty. Before we preach and teach, before we announce, before we got to know it. I'm reminded of Nietzsche, who said, you know, I'd believe you Christians if you just look a little happier. This is what the Lord wants to do for us. Fill us. Jesus Christ has broken all the bonds of darkness, the confusion, the morass, the conflict, the hatred, the fear. That's all death. And the death he died to sin. All that world, once and for all. And the life he lives to the Father. So you too, count yourselves dead. Remember that you are dead. You are free from that darkness. You will have to struggle with it because you are flesh and blood like everybody else. If everybody loses their money, you're going to lose yours too. If everybody gets frightened, you're going to get frightened too. So what? We have the living Son of God in our midst and in our heart. You see, the angel told these good women, you're looking for Jesus, the Nazarene. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Where is Jesus? Everywhere. Everywhere. His body fills this universe. That's what we celebrate on the Feast of the Ascension. Because His body fills this universe by the power of His word, this bread and this wine become His body and His blood, and we feed on it. That's what He wants us to know. Don't look for the living among the dead. He's not there. He is alive. He's radiant. Yes, He's passed through death. He has suffered and experienced the depth of the darkness, the vileness, the hatred, the cruelty, more than anyone could even imagine. But now, He is full of power and light. And it is that power and that light that fulfills the prophecy of Ezekiel. I will show my glory. Where do we see it? And all those who really love Jesus Christ. Just as yesterday, I met some people. They wanted to talk for a while. They're from Biafra. They have relatives who are martyrs. And they are so devout and so simple. And so filled with Christ. Jesus can hardly wait to call them home. Did they suffer? Well, remember Biafra. Jesus Christ will fill us with the power by which God the Father raised Him from the dead. This is what we celebrate. Remember, when He was still with you in Galilee, He told you that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners, be crucified, and raised on the third day. There's a must there. And that must is the will of the Father. Why would God the Father, together with his beloved and infinite Son and Spirit, decide on such a way to win us back, to restore us? Why would it have to be that way? First, because of the depth of sin. But more important, because of the depth of mercy, to show forth his glory. This is the night when there are almost 1 billion people, I hope they all went to the vigil, who celebrate, assert, Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Death has no power over him. Death, where is your sting? Is it going to hurt when we die? Probably. But for how long? And then eternal life. One for us, because one of us is God, and he drank the depths of the suffering that we have brought upon this world. And now we're free. It's nice here. There's light, there's music, there's the word of God. Thank God. It's supposed to be. Let's ask the Lord tonight to fill us with such a clarity that even though we get tired or bored or frightened, or in pain, we don't stumble. Or if we stumble, we get up. Why? So that the world will know how great God is. There is a time, all the prophets are telling us this, a time of evangelization like the world has never seen. There may be difficulty before that. There is a time of evangelization. Oh. If all of us could be as God-filled as those people from Biafra, the whole world would rejoice. And so we have this text, the angel's advice to us. Do not be amazed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, the crucified. He has been raised. He's not here. Don't seek for the living among the dead. Our Lord is glorious. He fills this room. He fills our hearts. He wants to give us such a grace this night that we will worship him with such love. And we will care about every human being in this world. Expand our hearts. Join the saints in being concerned that the face of the Father be known, be a source of joy, and that his light be greater than any other light. Because the light on his face is the light that is reflected in the resurrection of Jesus Christ.